Well, hey there. This is Jim, and I was just thinking again. Now, I made a recording yesterday about how I've been making recordings and then not uploading them. Here I am making a recording a day after making a recording and was about not uploading recordings that I make. So, I don't know if I will upload both or I will just upload this. I'm tempted to upload both, but decision to be finalized later. If you've listened to the recording I made yesterday, which even today, which is tomorrow, I still don't know what that recording from yesterday will be called. Maybe I should just call it yesterday. Give it a kind of a Beatles theme, right? I could do something like that, right? Yesterday, and then this one would be either Here Comes the Sun, or maybe even The Sun King. I'm grooving on The Sun King. I mean, that's what we'll do. Yesterday and The Sun King. There you go. That'll be longish recordings because I'm recording basically 5.5K. And just under a half mile of it is that I walk either up or down, or as Carlos might say, up, 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 or down, down, down. The big hill in front of my house. So, but in either way, whichever recording you're hearing, good news, as they would say on Top Gear, the Grand Tour. So, I will have run 3 days this week. I only need to run again on Saturday to make my fourth day for the week, and that will be the most I've run in a week since Bird in Hand. I'm sure there's some goofy name I could come up for that. Avian within phalanges comes to mind. Feathered mammal on palm. There. So, anyway, if you don't know what I'm doing right now, besides running, I'm doing some base miles. This is going to be a short, easy trot, and different from yesterday, I am wearing my Coros watch. I wasn't planning on wearing it. But the Coros watch has something that the Garmin does not, and that is battery life. I'm pretty hard on machines with batteries, but I can get a good 7 to 10 days out of a charge on my Coros. If I'm lucky, I get 4 on my Garmin, which is better than the 24 hours I got on my Apple Watch, and it's better than the 36 hours I got on previous Garmin watches. So there you go. But I am cruising along at 100 miles per hour. Maybe not. It's telling me I'm at 11 right now. That sounds more like MPH than KPH. So I may have some more updating to do to this watch. This is what I will wear in Savannah, so when I look down, I want to see kilometers. I want to see metric. Bit of a breeze here. This is now Thursday. Au français, si vous préférez, jeudi. Yes, it sounds very much like the English name Judy, but you have a little Judy. This is going to be the nicest day weather-wise this week. So we're definitely in the mid-60s. I didn't look, but just by feel I can tell we're somewhere between 64 and 67. I think probably closer to 64, but still very pleasant. Anywho, let the baby goats out for a little bit. I'm running the sun before I left. It's tricky this time of year because the sun sets a lot sooner than it did even a month ago. So we're pretty much darkish by 6:15, so doesn't leave a lot of time after work to get out before the sun goes down, which if I can, I prefer to. So, but I believe I've recorded this before and uploaded this, but I do have a new headlamp called a Nebo light, N-E-B-O. I just got it from Ace Hardware. So it's not meant for running. It's meant for chores. So if you need to be someplace where you need to have both hands to fix something, but you also need to be able to point a flashlight where your eyes are. So it's LED, and I forget how many lumens of power it gives out, but it's bright, and it has a rechargeable battery. So, and so far, I've had it for probably a month. I have not needed to recharge it. Now, I haven't used it that much, but I've not needed to recharge it. So, it's very light. The lamp, or as they would say across the pond, the torch itself, oh geez, maybe a 1 inch by 1 inch square, so very, very small. And it's on a pivot, so it's not flush against my forehead if I wish it not to be. I can actually swivel it forward so it points slightly downhill when I am, well, slightly down as I am looking forward. So, which is nice. Which is very nice. So, yes, we're going uphill right now again. This is definitely in miles per hour. So, well, not actually miles per hour. How many minutes per mile? So, I was up the hill. It was telling me I was at 14. And that sounds good for minutes per mile. I'd love to run 14 miles an hour. That'd be phenomenal. For an extended period of time, anyway. So, can't imagine how fast a marathon might be if I were cruising along at 14 miles an hour. I think my normal marathon pace is 5 miles an hour. So, that would get me done right quick. So, that might even be world class speed. So, yep. So, anyway, beautiful sunshine, but the clouds are rolling in. So, we're supposed to be cloudy tomorrow. And then by the evening, maybe not this time, but maybe closer to 6 or 7, the rain moves in. And it's supposed to rain overnight till about 6 in the morning Saturday. So, forecast right now looks good for a Saturday morning long run. When this is done, I will reach out to my compadre, Mr. McCann, see if he's up for some miles at John Rudy, which is one of our local county parks. In case you're new, and if you're new, welcome. John Rudy is on the north side of the city of York. It goes along something known as the Codorus Creek, or as some people say it in my country, Crick. So, but potato, potato, right? Follows the Codorus into York City. You have about a mile. You're just on pavement and sidewalk until you pick up the Codorus again downtown. And from there, you follow the Codorus most of the way down to the Maryland border, which is another 20 miles away. I think somewhere around mile 6 from the PA Maryland line is where the Codorus peels off, and you're no longer running with the Codorus. Somewhere in a town called Glen Rock. And yeah, if you're thinking Glen Rock, did the Scots move to your part of the world? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. We have a couple of Glen this or Glen that down in the south central and southeastern part of PA. We also have some Irish, of course. If you recognize the city names of York and Lancaster, they are absolutely named after the English forebears. And we have our own War of the Roses every year when our competing baseball teams play each other. And just like in merry old England, York is represented by the white rose, Lancaster by the red rose. So, there you go. We ripped off English history from the, 1500s? So, there they are. We may not be original, but imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right? So, cheers, and if you don't like it, bugger off. So, I can say that, of course, in my country, because bugger off. It's not cursing in my country. In fact, in my country, in the American version of English, bugger off doesn't mean a thing. It's less cordial, though, when you cross the pond. But, of course, any word followed by the word off pretty much is synonymous. Canadians, of course, had take off back in the 80s, which of course was the Canadian and thereby even more polite way to say bugger off, or as we would say here, F off. Because, of course, the Canadians are nothing if not polite. So, anyway, there you go. So now that we've gone through a litany of cursing in three different countries, we can sally forth. Even though Sally is not here today. So again, still very pleased with how quickly I am adapting to this straight through running. So, when I started several weeks ago, I could probably run about 3/4 of a mile, and then I would take a short walk break, run another 3/4 of a mile, short walk break, and so forth and so on. And then, yeah, probably 2 weeks ago, I made it all the way out to the halfway point, which is about 100 meters in front of me right now. And I was very pleased because my legs were saying, "I don't know, buddy, I don't know." But my head was saying, "Well, I do. And if I have to drag one of you behind me, we're going to go 1.5 miles without stopping." So, anyway, that's 50 meters. So, today though, I'm good. I could forego the break in about 20 seconds. And at some point I will. But that day ain't today. Because we have turned around. We're going to take a little break. So, all right. Yeah. 1.7 something. Not wearing my spectacles, so. I don't want to make a spectacle of myself trying to squint and read my watch with sunglasses on. So, speaking of which, I'm getting very insistent emails from my eye doctor letting me know it's time for my return yearly visit, my eyes checked, and I'm sure that's correct. Back to the run. I do get a free eye exam every year with my insurance. I will set that up shortly and see if I can get in during my vacation. Last time they dilated my eyes. Yeah, if you've had your eyes dilated, it's better if you don't drive home, or you wear really, really dark glasses. Was a little bit of a annoyance because I've got this interesting machine that, you know, it's not covered by insurance, but if you wanted to spend an extra $40, it basically takes a retinal scan, and then you don't need to have your eyes dilated. So, my wife said, "Well, I'm willing to pay $40 not to basically be blind for a while." So, that's worth it to me. And then, of course, they dilated my eyes anyway. So, figures they're going to do it anyway. Why pay the $40? So, I shall not do that this time. I'll just bring probably the sunglasses I'm wearing now, which are fairly dark. Just say, "Yeah, it's all right." So. So we'll see what we'll see. And we'll see how my eyes are doing. I want to make sure something somewhat works on, because it ain't my ears, that's for sure. Anyway. So speaking of ears, I didn't mention it in the episode known as Yesterday Now, but I am, at least in theory, going to be getting some ear surgery on my left ear, so. I've mentioned this before, but I have a perforated eardrum. And probably even better to say that it's not just simply perforated. It's not like I have a tiny hole in my eardrum. I'm missing half my eardrum. So I have the upper half, not the lower half. And that's good because the bones that connect your eardrum to your brain, known as the Inca, Malleus, and Stapes, if you like Latin, or hammer, anvil, and stirrup, if you'd rather English, they're all connected to the upper part of my eardrum, so the fact that I still have that part, that's good. If I didn't have that part, I would be deaf. Be no signals basically going in. But the part I'm missing is the part that shields your cochlea. So that very well may be why I'm having all of these ear issues, and probably more inner ear issues. Headaches, and every so often lightheadedness, a little bit of dizziness. Not having any balance issues, but I've had this now for a year, along with the pulsatile tinnitus, heartbeat in your head. And would it kill me if this lasted for the remainder of my life? No. It wouldn't kill me. Is it damn bloody annoying? Yes. It's damn bloody annoying. And some days more than others. So I've decided to get this repaired. So it means surgery. About 3.5 hours worth. And what they will probably end up doing is they will graft some skin off the back of my ear to create the part of my eardrum that's missing. That they're going to do either way. They're going to go behind the eardrum and clean out all the scar tissue that they can easily see on the CT scan that I had and the MRI that I had. And they're going to get rid of the air pocket that shouldn't be there. Either way, that's going to happen. What they may do, in addition, is remove the mastoid bone and create a false pocket, or basically they like to refer to it as a bowl, where drainage and such can collect to keep it away from the eardrum, which, of course, if you ever had wax up against your ears, makes it hard to hear, right? So I won't have that issue. And if you have wax up against your ears, also makes it more likely to get an ear infection. So keeping wax away from my ears, keeping my eardrum clear of any debris and open to sound will both be a better thing in a lot of ways. Of course, since this pocket, this bowl, is not part of the human anatomy, it's going to have to be manually cleaned out every 6 months. So, very much like your 6-month visit to the dentist to get your teeth professionally cleaned, I'll end up going to the ear doctor every 6 months to have this bowl professionally cleaned out. So it's also going to increase the size of my canal. So the hole from the outside of your head that goes into the inside of your head at your ear, it's roughly the size of your pinky. After this surgery, it'll be roughly the size of my thumb. So I don't know if that's just the interior canal or the opening to the canal. If it's the opening to the canal, then they better really improve my hearing, because that means I don't have any kind of a piece that my hearing aid is going to fit in. It's just going to keep falling out of that gigantic hole in the side of my head. So more to come on that. Right now the plan for that is first of the year, so that I can use my FSA money, my flexible spending account, to pay for the bill that insurance is not going to pay for 3.5 hours of surgery, and at least 2 post-op follow-ups. Because what they end up doing is packing your ear full of gauze. It's this little, if you've ever seen gauze packing, it's actually a very tiny little strip. Looks kind of like a ticker tape. If you've seen ticker tape. I know. I've just gone way over the head of every millennial listening. Ticker tape? Yeah, I know. Gen X or older reference right there. But, and they just pack your entire ear canal full of the stuff. And then you go back. I want to say it's like in a week to 10 days. And they remove half of it. Then you go back in another week to 10 days, and they remove the rest of it. And so, it's about a month after the surgery before you know whether or not the surgery was a success. How do I know this? Because I've had a tympanoplasty before, and it was not a success. So it's not surgery I'm looking forward to, because as annoying as the thud is in my ear, having your ear completely jam-packed full of packing, that's not a fun experience either. So then you have to be careful. You can't blow your nose for 3 days, because, you know, all the inner ear pressure from blowing your nose. And I'm a rather forceful nasal evacuator when I blow my nose. So, yeah. So there's that. So you just have to kind of enjoy being somewhat stuffy for 3 days. And you can finally blow your nose. And even then you have to be careful. And, of course, then you kind of walk around depending on one ear, because, again, your ear's jammed full of wadding. Not a lot of sound makes it to your eardrum. So you get very one-ear dependent for a while. But I'm told that surgery will improve my hearing. So if it improves it enough, that's great. I just won't wear the hearing aid in that ear. And that it should also take care of the pulsatile tinnitus. I'm wondering if that air pocket is part of the culprit. I'm wondering if the movement of blood to the capillaries in my ear is being amplified by that air pocket, so that air pocket's not there anymore. Now, sound needs air to travel through, so if the air's not there anymore, that means less of that ambient capillary sound. So, much as I'm not looking forward to this, give me a stone cold guarantee that this tinnitus will go away, and the headaches will go away, and the intermittent dizziness goes away, sign me up. So, not to be boring and have only one issue, because I mean, you know, what fun is that? What they're thinking is, what I'm experiencing right now is what's known as a vestibular migraine. So basically, it's a nerve headache that's centered in my ear. So, since I have so many things that are mechanically wrong with my ear, there is the thought that if we fix the mechanical problems, that may ameliorate some of the nervous system issues. And basically, it's the nerves are getting overexcited. So, you know, think about your kid, think about your pet when they're overexcited and they are like crazy and out of control. It's not because they're trying to be bad. It's just they can't control all the stimuli they're being hit with. So, something like on those lines. So, everything that is making it to the nerves on the opposite side of my eardrum, it's having a hard time processing everything, so that does make some sense. Headaches are always a signal from your body that something else is wrong. You never have a headache for the sake of having a headache. It's always very much like your check engine light, right? It only happens when something else is amiss. So I've cut back on the caffeine, cut back on the chocolate, cut back on the alcohol, and I have introduced a magnesium tablet every night before I go to bed. So, magnesium has a lot to do with calming your nerves, and also if you don't take too much of it, it's also a mild laxative, so it makes it easier to back away from the coffee. That's one of the main reasons for the coffee in the morning was to make sure I stay regular. It's a nice little laxative as well. So now it's an official podcast episode because I have talked about poop. So there you are. I mean, tie it up, put a bow on it, call it the Sun King. Send it out there for all the world to hear, right? So, anyway. One of the things I talked about yesterday, was how green is my valley? Even though we are now in the latter half of October. Well, what I had mentioned is it's amazing to go from, hey, we're still pretty green, and it seems like you blink your eyes, or you go to sleep, and you wake up the next day, and change has happened. Well, if you listen to that, that is the winds of change. So, noticeable more color today than yesterday. Still not at 50%, which is fine. We're not supposed to be at 50% yet. Again, historically around here, we hit peak the final week of October into probably the first 3 or 4 days of November. So that's when we normally hit peak. But it's coming. It's coming. The yellows are starting to show up. The reds are starting to appear. We don't have a lot of sugar maples and things around here, so don't have a lot of the trees that do the nice bright orange that you see in places like New England and upstate New York and things like that. But yeah, the yellows are here. Again, our Japanese maple and our Bradford pear trees, when they change, will all change into a very brilliant red. So the beginnings of that are starting to occur. We do have a number of trees that are going from green to a yellowish brown, because we did have a fair drought going. So lack of water does affect how spectacular your leaf change is going to be. And I actually read a couple weeks ago that because of all the rain that they've had, New England is actually set up for brilliant colors this year, which they're probably at full color at this point, if not maybe a little bit past it now. But there you go. All right. Well, back at the driveway, it's a good place to stop. Let's go ahead and do this. Hit the stop sign. Let's do up to finish. And that's right, I have to hold this down. All right, so 3.56 is what I did. So, not bad. After I'm done with this, I will go into the watch settings and change this over to metric. So, I think this will end up being like, for those of you who speak kilometers, this will end up being somewhere around 5.56K, which I did in 42 minutes. Not bad. When I first started this, I was in the 50s. So, being very close to 40 minutes for a very slow and chatty 3.5 miles. I'm pleased with that. So, anyway, I got goats to take care of. I got horses to take care of. And my lovely wife didn't leave for work until 7:30. So she will not be home until probably 7:30. So I got me to take care of when it comes to dinner. So that's it for this this episode. Be well, be safe, and I gotta run.